This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The markets wobble, but they don't fall down.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It went like this today in Asia. Japan's Nikkei dropped almost 3% early on. Then investors found their legs, and Tokyo stocks had something of a rebound. The Nikkei finished down 1.7%. In Europe, shares lost value right off the bat, but they've also made a comeback. Most of the European markets are actually higher at midday. Wall Street had no such turnaround yesterday, though. Investors just kept getting bad news about bank profits, home prices, and consumer confidence. All the major indexes lost at least 2%. The Dow dropped 280 points to 13,041. The NASDAQ fell 60 to 2,500, and the S&P 500 was down 34 points to 1,432. When the stock markets struggle like this, bonds look like a safe, warm blanket for investors. Sure enough, this morning, U.S. Treasury bond futures jumped to a 20-month high. Stacey Vanek Smith has more on the bond market.
Bonds may be a very safe place to stow money, but they're not very lucrative. The return on the 10-year T-note is at about 4.5% right now. That's a five-month low.
People are more concerned about the return of their money than the return on their money.
Personal finance expert Jordan Goodman says because fewer investors are willing to take risks, those that do can make a lot of money.
The spread between risky and non-risky is going to get even wider as people continue to abandon things that have more risk. And so you're going to continue to see Treasury bill rates falling and the rates on risky assets rising.
Goodman says those rising rates are bringing out the bargain hunters. Some investors are buying up things like junk bonds and mortgage-backed securities at fire sale rates. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
We haven't talked much about oil prices lately. They're still above $70 a barrel. The International Energy Agency wants OPEC to put more oil on the market and drive down the price of oil. OPEC is resisting. Reporter Gretchen Wilson joins us from South Africa. The head of OPEC has been visiting its newest member, Angola. Gretchen, why is OPEC so against more production?
OPEC doesn't want to increase production because it doesn't want to have a lot of stocks of crude oil on hand. Because if the world economy is going to slow down, perhaps fueled by this subprime crisis, it doesn't want to have all this excess stock, too much supply, thereby driving prices way down.
Mm-hmm.
OPEC, of course, wants to benefit from reasonable prices of oil. So they're actually resisting that pressure by the IEA to increase production.
And the oil-consuming countries, though, they obviously want a cheaper price of oil. Is there a place in the middle the two can meet?
I think it's a delicate balancing act. I think both organizations are really kind of putting pressure on one another, while at the same time both realize that the other side actually does have a point.
And what OPEC is saying is that there's not a shortage of oil.
OPEC is saying that, in fact, it's not a problem of getting crude out of the ground. It's actually saying that refining that crude is the problem. And it says actually the outages in the American refinery industry that are affecting the market.
We haven't talked about oil much lately, mainly because gas prices are actually going lower. So people aren't that worried about it.
Absolutely. I think it has been quiet. And I think that there is still a lot of people who are kind of watching this very carefully and looking to the September 11th meeting in Vienna, as well as this meeting of oil ministers in Abu Dhabi on December 5th to see which way prices on crude are going to go.
All right. Gretchen Wilson in Johannesburg. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Earthlink is dropping about half its workforce and closing four offices. The company says the plan is to cut 900 jobs in an effort to reduce operating costs. Investors seem to like that. Earthlink's share shot up 7%. One of the problems Earthlink is having is that dial-up customers are signing up for high-speed lines from cable and phone companies.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters.
Can you believe it's almost Labor Day? Man, the summer's going by fast. But with Labor Day coming up, commentator Robert Reich has these thoughts.
A young person asked me not long ago, I think only half in jest, whether Labor Day was named in honor of natural childbirth. Most young people today have no memory of a time when Walter Reuther of the UAW and John L. Lewis of the United Mine Workers were household names, when presidents jawboned labor to prevent agreements from causing wage price inflation as productivity pushed those wages up, and when more than a third of the American workforce was unionized. Now, fewer than 8% of America's private sector workers are in unions, median wage gains have fallen far behind productivity gains, and for most of us, Labor Day means a long weekend. What happened? Some say it started in the early 80s, after Ronald Reagan fired the nation's air traffic controllers for striking, something they had no right to do, and thereby legitimized a wave of corporate union busting. Others blame it on a more pervasive greed-is-good aggressiveness that engulfed corporate suites starting right about then. There's no question that ever since the 1980s, and with ever greater alacrity, companies have fired workers for trying to form unions, even though that's illegal, and have used or threatened to use permanent replacements if workers go on strike, which is legal but was rare back then. But don't blame Ronald Reagan or corporate greed. Blame us, you and me. You see, starting about 30 years ago, and with increasing efficiency, technologies have given us consumers a world of choice, low-priced goods and services that often depend on low wages here and elsewhere. Long-haul trucks linking non-unionized manufacturers in the South to the rest of us. Big-box retailers using computers to find the best deals anywhere around the world. And now the Internet, letting us find the best deals for ourselves, too. So now a lot of us get good consumer deals and lousy paychecks. No one trumpeted this trade-off between low prices and a unionized workforce. It's happened gradually. But is it the right choice? That's what we ought to be asking ourselves, at least once a year, on Labor Day.
Robert Reich was Labor Secretary under President Clinton. His new book, Super Capitalism, comes out this weekend. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your day.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.